Apologize, Joe and Linda, for skipping over. I did that last week too. Maybe by next week I'll get it right on the stewardship talk. You'd think the person who writes the bulletin would pay attention to it, but I don't. Uh-huh. I don't. I've got 9 minutes. It's hard. I have to tell you, it's really hard to preach when you know that you have a time constraint. And a lot of people say, oh, it doesn't matter. And I go, actually, it does. So sometimes when I'm being rushed and things like that, we have people who have to be at work. And in our tradition, the most important thing that there is to do is to be able to have communion. And communion comes at the end of our worship service. We don't have it as a drive-by, come and get it as you leave. And I don't ever want anyone to come into this sanctuary to worship God that has to leave, not because they got called out, but because they have a commitment that they have to fulfill, and they're not able to be able to receive that grace. So when you intentionally are trying to be nice about it, understand it's frustrating because I don't know what I'm supposed to do. They didn't cover this when I was in seminary. And when I grew up, the preacher just went ahead and went on anyway, but I didn't think that was always really sensitive. So I'm going to do my best to honor. And for those of you who have to leave, my apologies. I am very, truly sorry for that. So our message is about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, if you'll look at the manger scene or any banner, you don't see any pictures of John the Baptist, all right? Gospel of Mark. I mean, really, you got no birth story in the Gospel of Mark. There is nothing there. You can read Gospel of Mark as much as you want. You are never going to see a shepherd. You are never going to see an angel. You're not going to see any of these things happening at a birth story. There ain't no wise men. In the Gospel of Mark, Joseph isn't even there. In the Gospel of Mark, Mary's not even there. How can you have a birth story if you don't have Joseph? Guess what? In the Gospel of Mark, you don't even have a baby. It's kind of hard to have a birth story if you don't have a baby, don't you think? That's the way it goes, though. Do you know what you get in the Gospel of Mark? You get John the Baptist. Do you know why he's in the wilderness? Because nobody likes John the Baptist. All right, he's just one weird type of guy. He's out there in the wilderness, just out there all by himself. It's just like, and what's he doing? He is there, and we hear about him because he's trying to help us get ready. Have you ever noticed that sometimes things happen and you're not ready for them? How does that make you feel? I don't know, but I don't like it. Teacher comes in and says, I've decided I'm going to give the final exam. You're like, it's the middle of the term. I know, but I don't like to be rushed. Oh, and then I became a parent. Boom. No time to prepare for that. You're bringing home a baby. It's the way it is. That happens sometimes. You just don't have. I like being prepared. And John is trying to help us be prepared, but sometimes we get prepared the wrong way. Not in our church, but in other churches, they have infant baptism. Have you ever seen an infant baptism done at other churches, all right, and in the family? In some churches, this is a huge deal. I mean, big deal. I mean, I'm talking about after the worship service, they go to the house. They have tents out in the yard. They have and I remember hearing the story, the priest was talking to the couple before the baptism of the child. They asked him, are you all ready? And the couple, oh, yeah, we got a big tent. We got the tables. We got a caterer coming. He said, no, I meant, are you ready spiritually? And the father says, yeah, we got a couple kegs of beer, 3 cases of wine, and all. I don't think they were prepared the right way. So how do we get prepared? We know what we do for hurricane season. We know what we do when kids have to go to school. How do we get prepared for Christmas? How do we get prepared for Christmas? I remember when I was a kid how we got prepared. We watched TV specials. All right? We didn't have, I know, I'm an old guy. This was before there were DVDs. Okay? This is way before there were VHSs. Okay? We had barely invented the TV. All right? And you had 2 stations. That was it. And it was in black and white. You ever watch Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? In black and white. All right, it's kind of hard, but you use your imagination. All right? And so, and they weren't taped. You had to see them when they were on. It wasn't like you could catch it another time. It came. Frosty was only coming by one time a year. And if you missed it, you had 12 months to wait before you were going to see Frosty again. You just didn't know how it was going to end. What happens to Frosty? And is Santa Claus coming or not? I don't know. I didn't get to see the special. And always, 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 you saw Charlie Brown and you saw the Frosty. And then there was always Hal the Grinch Stole Christmas. Remember that one? Remember that? They have these lasting impacts. If somebody's going around with a grumpy face all the time at Christmas time, what do we call them? Grinch. Grinch. You Grinch all the time. All right. And what? Because the Grinch wasn't ready for Christmas. Grinch is trying to stop Christmas, all these other things going on with about the Christmas, until finally what happens? That's what makes the movie so good, right? You see, there he is. He's stolen all the stuff. The idiots down in Whoville, oh, they're still, you know, happy, and they're singing, holding hands. I wrote an article about that. Remember how all that, okay? And then what happens to the Grinch? His heart. Remember that? That's why he could never catch Christmas. His heart was too small. His heart was too hard. He couldn't catch it. But then he hears the Christmas joy of people who aren't concerned about presents, and they're not concerned about food, and they're not concerned about any other celebration except for we're going to gather and hold hands because we are a community that loves and cares. And they lift up a joyful noise, and in that joyful noise, a heart is transformed. Three sizes. Three sizes. He's ready to receive the gift of Christmas. It's nothing he does. It's something that he receives. John the Baptist is here to tell us, get ready for Christmas. And don't get distracted. Don't be like the couple, oh, I got enough spirits. I got wine and beer. No. Focusing on the right things. Don't worry about the house decorations and at the turkey is big enough and about where everybody's going to sit. That's not the concern. Is there love and joy that is being expressed in your life in a way not just to transform yourself, but to reach out into the world? Are you not paying attention to the world? Do you not see how ugly and dark the words being said, the actions of people? Do you honestly think that God is calling us to just retreat and just huddle and just shake our heads and say and lament, oh, it's so terrible. Oh, I don't know what we're going to do. Do you think that's what? Do you think that's what John the Baptist did? We are called to make a difference, to transform cold, small, hard hearts. Not with words of judgment and condemnation, but with songs of love and grace and joy so that those hearts can be transformed. God loves them too. Understand, God loves them too. And we are called to help prepare for the way of Christmas by sharing the same love that transformed our lives, by sharing the same grace that we received. And I understand it can be very difficult. I understand this is not a jolly lolly time for a lot of people. And John the Baptist comes and says, prepare yourselves. God has a gift for you. God has a call for you. You receive the gift, you receive the call, so that we can go out and begin that transforming process. That's what we're called to do. That's who we're called to be. To gather hands, to sing, to continue to affirm that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not, will not ever be able to overcome it. We are the transforming agents God has chosen to be able to help the world get ready for Christmas to not get distracted by the wrong stuff, but to be able to affirm everything that is right. As Joe and Linda shared in their stewardship talk, this is God's creation. This planet belongs to God. And all the people on this planet belong to God. And anytime there's a voice that tries to separate that, that is contrary to God's plan. And we need to be able to be the voice, to be the people that are the example, that speak the truth about God's creation and about God's design and about God's desire not to condemn, not to judge, but to love and include all people. John was helping the people get ready for the message of Jesus, that when God's grace is going to be poured out, God's grace is going to be poured out on everybody, not just the ones we think deserve it, all right? The Who's in Whoville didn't sing to themselves, all right? They sang out to a world, and a voice, and the Grinch there on a cold mountain, alone, hard heart transformed. We have an opportunity to get ready for Christmas. And we get ready by focusing on the right thing, doing the right thing, and sharing the right message of hope. Amen.